Farm workers feed us, and to do so, they travel around the country following the harvest. For their kids, that means moving from school to school. Wyoming Public Radio's education reporter Tennessee Watson found there's a system in place to help these students. She brings us this story from North Dakota.
Angel, a tall, lanky 14-year-old, dribbles down the basketball court of the school gymnasium in Manville, North Dakota. Realizing he's unmarked, he goes for the three-pointer. It's a nice arching shot. The ball bounces tenuously on the rim and doesn't go in. It's the middle of the summer, and Angel is already thinking about trying out for his high school's basketball team later this fall, but he doesn't know if he'll be able to. Angel's parents are farm workers, and for as long as he can remember, his family has migrated between Texas and North Dakota. And every year, Angel misses the beginning of the school year in Texas, when basketball tryouts happen, because his family stays in North Dakota until the harvest is through. Could be October or November. That flexibility is a big deal for farmers, who rely on seasonal workers to quickly harvest and process crops before they spoil. But it puts those workers' kids, around 300,000 of them nationally, according to a Department of Education spokesperson, in a tough situation, making the most of a public education that's designed for students who start and finish the year at the same school. So when a lot of kids are on summer vacation, Angel's in a summer program for migrant students at the Manville School. His big goal is to complete Algebra 1.
So you do line 1. Minus 4.
It's not that he didn't pass it the first time. He's working on getting ahead. Angel says back in 7th grade, his Texas school offered a test to get into the advanced math track, but he wasn't back from North Dakota in time to take it.
And they called my name, but since I wasn't there, they took me off the roster.
It bothers Angel that he couldn't take advanced math just because of his parents' work. And it isn't just academics, but activities, too. He'd like to do something called the University Interscholastic League back in Texas.
They're like competitions for mathematics, for science, history, for spelling. Pretty much every subject I would like to get into, but since like we can't go over there in time, I don't have a chance to do that.
Angel's parents both grew up in farmworker families, and neither graduated from high school. His mom made it to 6th grade when her dad asked her to work in the fields to help support the family. Agricultural workers are among the country's lowest annual earners, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Angel says his mom wishes she'd been able to go to college, so they wouldn't have to migrate.
She's like, I'm sorry that you have to do this. I know it hurts. You know, she feels bad for me that we have to, like, go back and forth and stuff. So that really makes me feel lucky that I have, like, the chance to, like, educate myself.
His older brother's already in college, and Angel's confident that he'll go too.
Like, I want to go to college because, you know, I don't want to work in, like, some random job to, like, make ends meet. You know, I want to live a nice life.
Angel gets a lot of help from the Migrant Education Program, which funnels federal funds to states so they can provide academic support to kids whose parents move for agricultural and fisheries work. That can mean anything from summer programs like the one in Manville to after-school tutoring to night classes and farmworker housing. The program began in the 1960s as a part of President Lyndon B. Johnson's War on Poverty. The Education Department doesn't measure the graduation rate for migratory children, but advocates and educators estimate it was less than 10% when the program first started. They believe today's rate is closer to 70%. Roger Rosenthal is executive director of the Migrant Legal Action Program. Since 1980, he's worked to defend the rights of migrant students in public schools.
This program fills in the gaps that are necessary for these children to get their credits, to finish school, and to fulfill their destiny.
But not every community or every state has a program. Rhode Island, Connecticut, and West Virginia haven't had programs for years. And in 2017, Wyoming canceled its program, which is how I got interested in this story. Like North Dakota, it was the sugar beet harvest that drew large numbers of migrant workers to Wyoming. But the invention of the Roundup-ready beet reduced the need for labor by allowing farmers to control for weed growth with chemicals. Fewer migrant workers means fewer migrant students, which was part of the reason Wyoming decided to decline federal funds and no longer run the program. The numbers have declined in North Dakota, too, but Manville has held on to its migrant education program, and the federal dollars the school receives has done more than just help Angel and his peers.
economically, it always made sense.
That's former Manville school board member and local farmer Tom Ferry. The federal funds employed teachers and bus drivers during the summer and enhanced school resources for all students throughout the year. Ferry says the program's been good for farmers, too, by drawing farmworker families to the area.
Some of the work that the program did encouraged the people to come back.
But the migrant education program can't help Angel get back to Texas in time for basketball season. Angel says his parents did give him the option to stay in Texas for the whole school year.
And I could stay with like my aunts or my grandparents, and I said, like, I don't want that because I won't feel like the same, you know?
He'd rather be close to his parents. But he's hopeful that Mother Nature won't bring an early end to this year's beet harvest so he can get back to Texas in time to try out for the basketball team. For Wyoming Public Radio in Manville, North Dakota, I'm Tennessee Watson.